I'm going to start the investment committee meeting for September 29th, 2023. First order of business is roll call.
Chair Carvalho?
Here.
Vice Chair Perkins? Regent Brager?
Here.
Regent Cruz Crawford? Regent Tarkanian?
Here.
You do have a quorum. Advisory members, Mr. Garcia, Mr. Densler.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Winter. Next is the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody will please rise and follow me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands.
And now for the land acknowledgement. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Next is public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 928-4944-5069 with the passcode 555-5555. With that, are there any public comments at GBC?
There are no public comments at GBC at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
There's no public comment at this time in system office in Reno.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? I see none at this time. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
The queue at this time.
Thank you. With that, we will move on to the minutes of the March 31st, 2023 meeting. Are there any questions or do I have a motion?
Motion to accept as stated.
Thank you, Regent Brager.
Second.
And second from Regent Perkins. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number four, operating pool performance discussion and recommendations. So we have Ms. Wendy Walker here from Cambridge Associates, and I will turn the floor over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. For the record, Wendy Walker from Cambridge Associates. I will start with our action item for the operating fund here on page 10. Oops. Here on page 10, our rebalancing recommendations. Rather simple rebalancing recommendations today as context. Over the course of the summer between investment committee meetings, there were large withdrawals by two of the campuses from the operating fund. Those were funded by drawing down the majority of the account with AllSpring short duration. Those withdrawals totaled $105 million. System staff has advised that they view the current portfolio as adequately meeting the liquidity needs for the campuses and the participants of this pool going forward, and recommended maintaining more of the liquidity pool in short-term bonds and cash. Cambridge agrees this is a very reasonable approach in the current environment. As a reminder, the short-term bonds and cash do not take on interest rate risk or liquidity risk. They are in government money market funds, so have a stable $1 NAV and net asset value, and we see this as a reasonable approach. Accordingly, since the manager Allspring typically has a $100 million minimum in their account, we believe it's most suitable, rather than trying to replenish up to that $100 million minimum, to instead liquidate the remaining $6.4 million in that account. System staff advised that they thought it was appropriate to redeploy those assets into the long-term pool, that there wasn't there was not an additional need for additional proceeds to be moved into the short-term pool. Accordingly, Cambridge recommends that that roughly $6 million be redeployed into the long-term pool, as shown in the light yellow column up at the top of this page, $2.5 million into the Vanguard Institutional Index, which is a U.S. passively managed account, and then the balance, which is roughly $4 million, into the Vanguard Developed Markets Index. And both of those additions would serve to rebalance the long-term pool closer to policy targets. So I'll pause there to see if any questions about these recommendations. Regent Tarkany, did you have a question?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. It sounds like we don't have any questions or comments. So this is our sole action item, and would you like to entertain a motion now or after the other presentations?
So just to restate what we would be proposing as a motion here, if I can find it real quick. We would be moving to fully redeem the remaining balance of the Allspring short duration, which is approximately $6.4 million, and reallocate it from the intermediate term pool to the long-term pool. And then also, as part of that same motion, redeploy the Allspring short duration proceeds as follows to bring the long-term pool asset allocation closer to targets.
Would you like a motion at this time?
I would like that,
Thank
yes.
Thank you. I'd make a motion to accept what was stated by Regent Carvalho.
Thank you, Regent Brager. I appreciate that. Is there a second?
Second. I'll second that.
I will take the second from Regent Tarkanian. Thank you. So are there any other discussion points or questions on this?
Madam Chair, this is Regent Perkins.
Yes, please. Vice Chair
I have
Perkins.
A question. How does this thank you. How does this shift like the overall projections of returns? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does make sense, and it has a very minimal effect, negligible effect, since it's only $6 million out of a $700 million pool. It's a very modest shift, and it serves to move the portfolio toward the long-term policy targets.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that question, Vice Chair Perkins. I was going to say something similar, so appreciate that. Are there any other comments or questions? Then I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 5, endowment pool performance. And this, again, I will go to Ms. Wendy Walker.
Great, thank you. For the record, Wendy Walker, Cambridge Associates. We have no action items for the endowment. Instead, we are focused on, can we switch these are all information items for the endowment. Sorry. Great. So we'll start with performance. And maybe I'll just give a quick update on the markets more broadly. Calendar year 2023 has been a really sharp reversal, a welcome reversal into positive territory from what was a very difficult calendar year 2022. However, in August and September, the equity market rally has paused. Interest rates have gone up starting in August for a few reasons. Some are technical, related to the increase by the Fed in debt issuance to fund ongoing budget deficits. Inflation and related central banker talk has suggested that interest rates will be higher for longer. And then most recently, the looming U.S. government shutdown has sent interest rates even higher. As of this morning, the benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was back up around 4.6%, and that had been at 3.75% as recently in July. So we are seeing some market turbulence that has affected performance in the recent past. That said, when we look at performance in this in these materials, which were as of August 31st, we can see that the total endowment returned a preliminary 8.2% for the calendar year to date, which is, in absolute terms, a very strong absolute return. Again, very positive for an eight-month return, albeit it's falling 70 basis points behind the policy benchmark for this short-term period. And I'll get into some of those drivers of that underperformance momentarily. We do like to think about performance. This is a perpetual pool, so we like to focus on performance over longer-term track records. And so when we go back to the beginning of Cambridge's OCIO track record, which now equates to a six-year track record, the endowment has returned 7.5% annualized, and that outperforms the policy benchmark by 140 basis points per year. So that's 1.4% of excess returns over what we would have gained by being in passive funds. We're very pleased with that outperformance. I'll move forward and just look not only on the returns basis, but also risk-adjusted returns. We like to think about the path towards these long-term returns rather than just the annualized returns. And ideally, we're looking for high returns with relatively lower volatility than what the market offers. And we're happy to see here that we have achieved that. We're up in the upper left-hand quadrant for the total endowment and for the Cambridge managed assets component of the total endowment. So higher returns and lower volatility of returns than that benchmark. Digging into what has been the strongest drivers of returns during the Cambridge track record as OCIO over the past 6 years, the strongest contributor by far has been private equity and venture capital. These are inefficient asset classes that over the very long term we would expect to outperform public markets by in the range of 3 to 5 percentage points. We dedicate a lot of resources globally to locating and accessing the best-in-class managers for client portfolios and to deliver this type of excess returns. So that has driven 70 basis points, or about half of the outperformance over our OCIO track record. That said, here on page 12, we can see that private investments have actually detracted from performance. And this has to do with some benchmarking intricacies that basically over the long term we're seeking to measure our outperformance of public market indices. Last year, private equity and venture capital delivered very, very strong outperformance because, and I'll show it on this page, you can see the gray line is public markets, and you can see that during calendar year 2022, public markets really plummeted. But then since October of 2022, the gray line has done a very sharp rebound that I mentioned earlier. The green line and the dark blue line are venture capital and private equity, respectively. And they didn't plummet as much as public markets last year. But this year, the valuations are still resetting, which we see as appropriate and healthy. And so in this calendar year-to-date period, there is sort of a timing mismatch where public markets are off to the races again, and private investment valuations have continued to decline and reset. This is the pattern that we've seen after the global financial crisis, after the tech wreck in the early 2000s. So it's playing out the way we would have expected, and we don't have any concerns with this asset class that has been a very, very strong driver of outperformance over the long term. And I would also point out that our preliminary fiscal year 2023 returns, which stand at 7.9, happened to coincidentally fall in line with the median result for similarly sized peers. And I think it's interesting also to point out that the largest endowments have shown the weakest performance for fiscal year 2023, and that's largely because of the overweight to private equity and venture capital, where the smallest endowments that had typically more of a simple portfolio approach with just stocks and bonds had had higher returns for the most recent fiscal year. Over the long term, this pattern is reversed, where the largest endowments tend to outperform the smallest endowments, so similar to the pattern that we've seen with NSHEP portfolio.
Wendy, can I just ask a question on that?
Of course.
From a layperson's point of view, I was thinking about when we talk about our own personal investments, 401ks and things like that, and you try to diversify into riskier segments versus, you know, more non-risky segments. So is that what this is? The private equity type of investments are riskier traditionally, and then treasury bills, if that's what the right word is for that, and more government-backed investments are typically more, they have a smaller return, but over the long term, you get a return versus the risky private investment type of idea.
I think that's fair, and I might suggest a slight modification in that it's equities broadly are riskier than T-bills and really secure bond-type investments. The difference between public equities and private equities is that public equities are traded on the markets. They get valued every day. Market sentiment can swing very rapidly, which is what we saw in 2022, and then revalued upward in 2023. Private investments, what we've seen over the very long term is delivering excess returns over public markets. These are harder instruments to access. You know, typically there are account minimums that an individual such as myself, we could not access these types of investments. It takes a lot of research to find the best performers. So I don't know that they're necessarily more risky in the aggregate, but there's a greater dispersion of returns. The best performers in private investments and the worst performers in private investments have a vastly different range of returns as opposed to public market managers. So it just makes manager selection and the research resources that much more important in accessing these asset classes.
Thank you.
So I might also jump ahead in our asset allocation section. Just given the recent market volatility, I think it's helpful to just think about what volatility looks like over the short term versus over the long term. And this endowment portfolio, over the very long term, and we think of long term as 25 years plus, this is a perpetual portfolio, we expect returns to be 5.9%. Now, that 5.9% is truly just a midpoint of a range of potential returns. It's a probability analysis, and it'll be a very rare year when we hit that 5.9% exactly. Usually it'll be higher and lower, but this is the compound returns over the long term. And what we can see at the far right-hand side is that the band of expected returns around that 5.9% median is much narrower than over a shorter term period, like 3-year period. Here on page 26, we can see that over a 3-year period, 50% of the time, returns are going to fall in this dark brown range at the bottom, which is a 1.2% return to a 10.9% return for a 3-year period. And that's a very big range when this is a pool that's paying out 4.5%. We might have a 10-year period. It's equal chances that we might have a 10-year period that's somewhere in this range, or it could be much higher or much lower. But that over time, these the compounding effect gives us a tighter expected range of return. And this will also relate to some of the comparative performance analyses that we'll talk about in the later agenda item. So I just wanted to point that out. Otherwise, we're continuing to deploy capital on behalf of NG, and we're, you know, continuing to look for opportunities to outperform the market. You know, the operating pool is a passive pool. It really is not designed to either outperform or underperform the market. But in this endowment pool, since we have a very long-term focus, we are looking for opportunities to maintain the kind of outperformance that we've had over our 6-year track record. I might move ahead to an information item that was requested at the last meeting related to sustainable investing. Oh, and I'll make a public service announcement. We have our annual Impact Investing Forum next month in Toronto, and if any committee members or board or staff members are interested in joining us, we'd be delighted to host you there. And that's related to this request from the last meeting. Which related to the percentage of NG's portfolios that have exposure. This is on page 44, that have exposure to impact themes or environmental, social, and governance themes. Right now, we have nearly 18% of Cambridge Managed assets are invested in these sorts of strategies that have sustainability as a primary driver of the investment thesis. And we've described these exposures in the table here. I would call out that we use this as one of our main guiding principles when we are seeking out these types of investments. First and foremost, it's that they will support the financial goals of the endowment portfolio. And our research team dedicates and has found many themes, particularly around the energy transition, that offer, you know, what we view as very strong opportunities for outsized returns. And so assuming that these sorts of investments meet our financial and investment objectives, we're also seeking to align the pool to the extent possible with the broader Nevada System of Higher Education goals. So we might look for opportunities to invest in education-oriented funds, investment strategies that might be seen as helping to close the achievement gap in underserved populations. One of the NG goals relates to collaboratively addressing the challenges of the workforce and industry education needs of Nevada. And we're very aware of a lot of the work and research that's going on around the energy transition and climate and battery storage and all the great innovation that you folks in Nevada are leading. And then the fifth long-term objective of the Nevada system of higher education that we seek to support in these strategies is co-developing the solutions to the critical issues facing 21st century Nevada and raising the overall research profile. So you'll see throughout this table a number of strategies that relate to the energy transition and climate more broadly. And so, you know, really the rest of this section is meant to be more of a leave behind than a discussion topic, but I'm happy to address any questions. This was truly meant to be responsive to the question at the last meeting.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Regent Boylan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And hello to Ms. Wendy again. Just a very layman question. Last time we spoke, I mentioned the possibility of the dollar losing its value, which it has done by now. And just a simple question. And maybe you've said it in all those big words there, but how much money did we make in this year? Enchi, simple question. You know, I don't know. $1 million, $5, $10 million. I don't know. How much money did Enchi and all your investments make for us, Enchi?
Sure. So I can go back to the performance question or to the performance table. And for the calendar year to date, there's been an 8.2% return. We describe this in percentage, but to roughly translate, we have just over a $300 million portfolio. So that would equate to $24 million in gains in this pool, in the endowment pool.
Okay, thank you. So we made $24 million last year. I mean, from last year to now.
Correct. That's in the first 8 months of calendar year 23.
Firstly, that's outstanding. Now, I can't even count that high, but now, because I need to understand this. Do you give that money to somebody in Enchi, or you just hold it and reinvest it? Because we're always complaining, we don't have money. Let's increase student fees. Let's blah, 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 blah. So what do you do with that money? We need to increase salaries for faculty, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a lot of money, and I'm kind of...
Sure. So I'm happy to pause if Enchi Finance staff would like to chime in, but the endowment funds are all gifts that are earmarked for specific purposes. I believe the vast majority relate to scholarship dollars, and I think about 90% of the assets in this pool pertain to specific uses at UNLV or UNR. And then the other 10% represents gifts that were made for specific perpetual purposes to the other campuses or Enchi as a whole, I believe. There is, and in fact, this is a great segue to our final section in these materials. There's an annual payout of 4.5% from this pool because the gifts were given with the restriction that the corpus be preserved in perpetuity, but there's a 4.5% payout is the current distribution rate annually. So these dollars could not be repurposed for other uses since the original donors earmarked them for very specific purposes. Does that get at your question?
Thank you. It does. And I understand that kind of stuff, no numbers, so it's easy for me. But Madam Chair, I guess this would be a Regent's request or new business. Is there any way we can get a chart or a list of what those monies are and who they have to go to specifically? Yeah, you know, the endowment to whom? Is it to underwater basket weaving classes? I don't know. Is there somehow that we can be made knowledgeable about all that big money that we are making, lots of it? I'm impressed. Can we be told, is there anybody in finance, the lawyers here, or who? Can we be told who that money goes to and how much? How, what do you suggest? Should that be a Regent's request?
There's a lot to your question, Regent Boylan. Right. And,
yes,
but I do think that that's appropriate in new business. I would say, at least from my perspective, and Mr. Vertrees or Ms. Walker can definitely weigh in on this if I'm out of line or missed anything. But I would say that the endowment pool is for the long term. And as Ms. Walker stated, there is a policy that we have that states a certain amount of those investments do go back to each of the institutions for their purposes. And I think what you're asking is that small portion of the earnings that goes back to each of the institutions, you would like to know how they use those funds. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You hit the nail on the head. Thank
you so
much.
Okay, and I think that is appropriate new business, and we can certainly address that there. And
thank you for your time.
Yes. Do you have any other questions on this?
No, ma'am. I've lost when it comes to such big numbers. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you.
Are
there any other questions or comments from Regents or our advisory members as well? I see Mr. Densler on the screen, and I'm not sure if Mr. Garcia has joined us, but I would welcome their input as well.
No comments from us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that is for information only. So we can move on to item number 6, which is the endowment pool distribution rate and policy. As I just mentioned, the current policy is set at 4.5% spending management fee in relation to current investment allocation. And currently, the suggestion has been made to keep it as is. Our policy has been working at 4.5%. But I will also entertain any questions or comments. Actually, before I do that, I would just like to ask Mr. Vertrees if he has anything to say about this particular item.
No, nothing specific. That we do recommend that it just remain the same. Thank you. Rhett Vertrees for the record. Sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any comments or questions from the members of the committee and
Madam
our
Chair.
Advisory members as well?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Laura
Chair
Perkins.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. How do we come to this 4.5%? Because I remember it was like 4%, I think, last time. So how do we come to, was it 4.5 or 4?
I think it's been 4.5 for a number of years. Oh, sorry.
And how do we come to that conclusion? Like, how do we get to that number? Is there any metrics that we go through, or is it depend on how well it's performing, or does it depend on needs for the institutions themselves?
That's a good question, Vice Chair Perkins.
Lindsay Sessions for the record.
Yes, please, CFO Sessions.
Good morning. Thank you. The committee has evaluated that spend rate in the past, and I believe I was in the system office last time it was changed, but in conjunction with Cambridge Associates, they evaluate the earnings on the pool and then recommend a rate so that we can, as we've talked about, preserve the integrity of the pool while distributing and getting those funds to the uses they're intended for. Does that help?
Yeah, that's an easy answer. Thank you.
Wendy, I know you were here as well.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The previous spending rate had actually been a bit higher, and I think all the points or the possible inputs that you mentioned, Regent Perkins, are all true. It's always balancing the trade-off between the needs of the institution and the long-term sustainability of any payout rate. And when the investment committee evaluates this on an annual basis, we have prepared in Section 3 of the endowment pool, there's some peer analyses that, you know, each institution is different, but we think it's helpful to see what other peers are doing. And I would characterize the 4.5% that the system pays out from the NSHE endowment as being squarely in line with the vast majority of peers that have a payout rate of somewhere in the 4.5% to 5% range. And I would caveat that here on page 67, we've seen a trend over recent years. Most institutions keep the payout rate the same on a year-over-year basis. This is really helpful for the programs that depend on these payouts to have that stability and the visibility of the payout rate. But in general, they're for institutions that have changed it over the past 5 years, about two-thirds of those have decreased the payout, whereas only one-third have increased the payout, and NSHE falls into that category as well, because 5 years ago when the spending policy was revisited, there was a decision to pull it back slightly to preserve the ongoing payout ability.
Thank you. Thank you. Really great answer.
Madam Chair, Mark Densler from UNR.
Yes, please go ahead, Mr. Densler.
It might be just useful. I can offer just a comparative. UNR also does a 4.5% payout as part of that. And to tie it back a little bit to Regent Boylan's question, one of the ways we think about it is, besides what Walker just talked about it from a comparative point of view, we just build it up from the basic math in terms of what are you doing in terms of preserving the long-term purchasing power. This would be kind of the real value of the portfolio subject to the erosion of inflation. So if you start at 4.5% payout level, and then at UNR, we're typically having fees and expenses somewhere between 0.5% and 1%. So that would get you to something in the neighborhood of a 5.5% level between your payout and your fees. Obviously, neither of these portfolios that we're talking about today have a tax drag of any appreciable value, although there is in some of these more sophisticated investments some tax drag, but we are not a taxable entity. So that is not a factor. Then when you add a inflation rate, and we've been fortunate for a number of years to have an inflation rate that was somewhere in the neighborhood of a 2%. So now you're somewhere in that 7.5% range. We're higher than that right now. Obviously, we're in the 3% to 4% range. You can see that that begins building up with the top line return that you would need to get for the portfolio in order to preserve that and compound it over time. So if you're starting to think about increasing, as Regent Boylan, you were sort of thinking about what would that mean in terms of this funds that are earned if they're not reinvested and they're actually paid out at a higher rate, say you go from 4.5% to 5%, you're actually eroding the long-term strength of the portfolio. And so that's the way we think about it at UNR, building it up from the math and the various components. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you. It is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As we were talking, Mr. Wixom reminded me that this is something that we have as a system addressed in the past. During the time of the recession, it went down to zero, and then we've built it back up. But that is a possibility at some point if we see something similar. Hopefully, we don't. That we can bring this back to the committee to address whether we want to adjust this distribution rate. So it is fairly fluid in that way. So thank you for asking that question, Vice Chair Perkins. So this is an item for possible action. So if there are no further comments or questions, I would entertain a motion to preserve the distribution rate at 4.5% spending / management fee in relation to the current investment allocation for our endowment pool.
So moved.
So moved, Regent Perkins.
Second.
So I'll take a motion from Regent Brager, and I heard Regent Perkins second first. So I appreciate the engagement. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. All right. Item number 7. Endowment pool performance comparison, ENCHI, UNLV, UNR. And I will again turn the floor over to Ms. Wendy Walker with Cambridge.
Thank you. So I think this can be relatively brief. Do we have a display for INV7? Sorry. This is an annual exercise that really ties in very well to the last discussion about, and I think if we have a different display for, excuse me, INV7, that would be helpful. It ties in very much to the decision about that ongoing payout rate and the math that Mr. Densler described in taking the annualized real return, but also considering the effects of inflation and what type of payout rate is sustainable over the very long term. So on item INV7, there's some transparency and comparative metrics relating to the asset allocations of the ENCHI endowment, as well as UNLV and UNR. All three of these pools are relatively similarly sized, but you can see that there are different strategies employed in each in terms of asset allocation, which is not surprising. There are a lot of different ways to manage pools, and as long as a strategy is internally consistent over the long term, great results can be achieved. Section B on INV7 looks at returns on a year-by-year basis. And similarly to the exhibit that we looked at related to the endowment, on a very short-term period, performance can vary quite widely, but we think it's more important to think about compound performance over the longer term, which we've set forth in Section C. And I think it's really instructive to see that on a compound basis, all three institutions have achieved quite similar rates of return over the trailing 6-year period and the trailing 10-year period. There aren't really meaningful differences. And then we also think about the returns in terms of that risk-adjusted basis, which is considering both the volatility of returns and alongside the investment rate of return. And so that's the Sharpe ratio, is the wonky finance term at the bottom of the page, which looks at these metrics on a risk-adjusted basis. And again, over short-term periods like 3 years, there can be a dispersion of these returns. But over longer-term periods, 6-year and 10-year, we see that all three portfolios are achieving, very similar results. And, we think that it's helpful to have this kind of transparency.
Thank you for that. I do have a question on this. And again, just understanding it from a layperson's point of view, for annualized standard deviation or volatility, just for an example, ENCHI's for the 3 years is 12.8. So so you could say it's a 12.8% volatility, and what would that mean?
That would, It means just how much the quarterly returns vary on. It's just a mathematical calculation on. It's a statistical calculation on a 3-year basis. There are 12 data points, and so it's that range of quarterly returns. How much they deviate on a quarter to quarter basis. If there were a magic investment that just a fixed rate CD would have a 0% return volatility because you would get the same return every quarter, so 0% volatility. Most assets that are subject to market pricing do have volatility of returns, and asset classes like emerging markets equity have quite high volatility. Bonds, as you mentioned earlier, tend to have lower volatility. So I think these numbers are best thought of in relation to each other than in absolute terms.
Thank you. That makes sense. So this is a lagging indicator. This
correct.
Shows what you've done.
It's backward looking. Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from committee members or others in attendance? I hear no other questions. So this is an information only item. And before we go to new business, I would be remiss if I didn't say that I skipped my chair's report, but I didn't have anything on that. I was so excited, and so I wanted to get right in to the meat of our meeting. So I do want to say I did not have a chair's report, other than to say thank you all for being here today. So with that, I will move on to item number 8, new business. I know that we have at least one item from Regent Boylan.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And since you suggested this, I'm bringing it up in new business. I would request staff to give us a listing of where these monies go and how much to each institution and for what. Purpose, you know, I know it's for specifically certain purposes. I think for the last 2 years, I've been asking for where do the monies go from the sale of our real estate. Mr. Klinger gave me one report, but he just gave me the values of each sale, and that's not what I was asking. So I'm still asking for that. I could say that's part of my new business too. Because it's transparency. Where are these monies going and where are they coming from? And you, more important is where are they going? Because we always
If I may, Regent Boylan, this is a business and not deliberation. So if certainly a request for a new business is appropriate, but not for deliberation at this point in time.
Mr. Wixom, I don't think you may, because I have not deliberated with anyone. I'm making statements.
And I understand your statements to deliberate.
For information, Mr. Wixom, I have the floor. I'm asking for information for all the regions. This is not deliberation. So I think you better get those ideas straight in your mind. I know you were a regent before, and I know you were a chair.
Regent Boylan, I understand where you're going with this, and I appreciate your passion on making sure that transparency is there for all of us, and I hear you with that.
Yes, ma'am.
But we're speaking just directly about new business, and I think we've gotten exactly what you'd like to put on new business, if that's okay.
Two things that I asked for. Yes, ma'am. That's new business. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there any other new business from? Yes.
I would just like to state that I do not need or want the report. I know what it is about, and it's unnecessary for me. So this is Regent Brager. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other new business?
Yes.
Madam Chair. I'm going to go to Vice Chair Perkins.
Thank you. I attended the UNLV CAP, which was the Climate Action Plan, and a question was asked by one of the students, how much are we investing or are we backing off from fossil fuel types of investments? And I'd like to put that in new business so that next time we can get a little report on that.
Thank you. That is noted. Regent Boylan, did you have any more new business?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say this is for my information, and anybody else who doesn't need it doesn't have to read it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, with that, I will move into public comment. Is there any public comment in GBC?
There's no public comment in GBC.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
No, there's no public comment at the system office in Reno.
Thank you. Any public comment in Las Vegas? There is none here. And SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
Not at this time.
Thank you very much. With that, I will adjourn this meeting at 9:50.